Hey guys, and welcome to Money Talks News, the podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about dealing with retirement anxiety. According to a recent Gallup survey, 60% of people approaching retirement think they're not going to have enough money, even when they probably do. But you know what? Who wouldn't feel anxious? What if Social Security goes away? What about inflation, rising rates, falling stocks, recessions, ballooning healthcare costs? Anything could turn your retirement dream into a nightmare. So today, we're going to talk about dealing with the fear of not having enough. Because even if you can't increase your money, you can always increase your confidence. I'm Stacy Johnson. As usual, my co-host will be financial journalist Miranda Marquette. Hello, Miranda.
Hello. I'm excited about this, Stacy, because even though I know you're never going to retire, someday I'd like to think I will.
Well, I would like to think that when you retire, I'm still going to be alive. We'll see. Listening in and sometimes contributing is producer and novice investor Aaron Freeman. Hello, Aaron.
I'm a little anxious about retirement.
And again, I will say the same thing. I hope I'm still alive when you retire. Today, friend of the show, Pam Kruger, is here from Wealth Ramp. Hey, Pam, how are you doing?
Hi, guys. Doing great. Great to be back.
You're looking great today. You guys can't see her because there's no video, but I can see her. She's looking great. Just take my word for it.
Thank you, Stacey.
Yeah, and we're going to have a really good show today, and it's going to be really good for me because I do have retirement anxiety. But before we dive in, remember, guys, anything you hear here, don't take it as financial advice, okay? Make sure to do your own research and consult your own experts before acting on anything you may hear on this podcast. And now we've satisfied the lawyers. Let's dive in. Pam, I have to tell you, you and I are basically the same age. I'm going to turn 68 in about 2 weeks. We don't need to ask your age, but we're basically in the same generation.
I'm a little bit behind you, but I'm in the same vintage.
Okay. So anyway, I have a lot of money saved for retirement. And yet, of course, I'm also not retiring, as you can tell, because I'm doing this podcast. But I sometimes even find myself thinking of, and I've done this, this is what I've done for 40 years, giving people financial advice. And I still find myself going, gosh, what if I don't have enough? What if something bad happens? I mean, so I can understand this anxiety. So here's what I want, Pam. I want you to make it go away. I want you to make me feel completely confident about my ability to retire. Can you do that?
I'm going to make you rich.
I'm already rich, but I still have anxiety.
Oh, man. You know what, Stacy? When I thought about this podcast, this topic, I actually, believe it or not, with all the conversations that you and I have had, I do put you in the category of people who probably don't need to worry, but probably are worried.
Part of this is tongue in cheek. I'm not really super worried, but I am a worrier. And Aaron's been working with me for 11 years. He can tell you that sometimes, I do worry about stuff. Not to the extent where I lay awake at night. But you know what I have that nobody else, well, some people have? I have a 44-year-old wife, who I call my little 401k. So if my money runs out, she can support me. So I do have that going for me.
But what does she call you?
Daddy?
Daddy. Ooh.
No, she calls me the wallet.
Yeah, it's more like it.
So let's talk about this, though. This anxiety is a real thing, right?
Yeah, it's a real thing. And what made me really want to talk about it and kind of bring it up beyond what we learned from that recent Gallup poll study, because, you know, I think we've all heard since the 1980s that, you know, a lot of people are worried they won't have enough money or that they will run out of money in retirement. That's not new. It isn't the highest point it's been in 12 years, but what I've learned by talking with people who are of that, I'm going to say glass half empty, not you, Stacey, but I'm talking about people who are truly glass half empty, that they feel that their concern is that the stock market is a wild bet, or that maybe it's rigged, or that somehow it just doesn't make sense for them. Their timing is always off. So they're going to stay away from the stock market. And they're always looking for some kind of way to replace the growth that they would get if they were sitting in the stock market throughout the ups and downs. But they just don't want the ups and downs. So you can sit here all day and say, oh, well, all they have to do is just start adopting, a long-term horizon, kind of point of view, long-term investing point of view. But I find it's not that easy. And these people need to be acknowledged, whether they have enough money or whether they really don't have enough money, because their investing style and their approach to investing in money is different. And I talk to top financial advisors all the time, and I ask them, how are you helping that particular client? How's that client different? And now what's funny is the great irony is that for all of the concern and all of the fear, the same study that we just talked about also points out that once people are retired, the percentage of those retirees who indicate that they're living comfortably is actually higher. It's 77%. So what's happening? You're getting people anxious, well, even when they're young. Like you said earlier, they might be afraid that Social Security is going to disappear, whatever their fears are. And then once they retire, they're like, oh, okay, I guess so. I guess it's okay. Not all. Some still are worried in retirement. But it's worth really discussing, how do you approach investing when you have that mindset?
You know, I just thought of something, Pam. This just occurred to me when you were talking. One of the things that I worry about isn't that I won't have enough. I'm sure I'll have enough. But what worries me is the thought of actually spending more than I'm making. I mean, because right now I make a really good living, right? So if I want to buy something, I buy it. But what if I retire tomorrow? I'm going to be spending more money that, because there ain't no way my savings are going to pay as much as I make as a salary now. So if I keep my lifestyle the same, I'm going to be draining my bank account rather than adding to it. And I think just that gives me a little bit of anxiety, you know, because I'm not used to doing that. I'm used to every month I'm worth a little more. And now I'm going to be worth a little less maybe every month when I retire. And that's going to make me, it may make me stingy. You know, made me go like, well, we can't take a trip to Europe. Right now I would, because I make more money than it costs to go to Europe. But when I'm retired, you know, my income is fixed, maybe I won't be so, I mean, maybe I'll be afraid to spend money. Do you see that a lot?
Yeah, definitely. But let me ask you a question. Do you feel like your decisions, you know, because these thoughts are going to drive your decisions. Your decisions are going to drive your outcomes. So over the past several decades here, do you feel that these worries have influenced your thoughts and your decision-making capacity? Or do you feel that this is just an anxiety that kind of hangs out there that you can keep at bay, but it doesn't affect your decisions?
I would say the latter. I would say it doesn't really affect my decisions much.
He does need a new boat. He needs
a new
second
boat.
Story on his house.
It's a hard life. It's a hard life over here.
Yeah, man. And my Harley is a 2017. I mean,
Just do a GoFundMe?
Well, let's take the focus off of me, which is something I really hate doing, and put it on our puppies, the puppies that are listening. What about you, Aaron? Do you have anxiety? Now, Aaron is in his late 40s. Is that right?
Yeah, almost 50.
And Miranda, you're 40-something, right? 43
yeah, I'm,
or something?
Yeah, I'm 43. I am a year younger than your wife.
Okay, so what do you guys have anxiety, or is it so far off in the future you don't care?
So I have a mixture. It was interesting, right? Because like, I feel pretty good about stuff because, you know, we're kind of joking about me retiring someday, but I like this lifestyle. I like the writing. I like the podcasting. I do a lot of travel anyway. And so I get to live a good lifestyle. So I like it. I think the thing that I worry most about is, you know, what happens if I don't, you know, and I set money aside, right? Like, I mean, I've got an investment portfolio, it's growing, all of the things. But I think the thing I worry about most is, what if something weird happens and I don't have, you know, and I can't keep doing these things that I do actively to make money. And so what happens then? And do I have enough of a nest egg to deal with a sudden change in circumstance?
You mean like if you became disabled or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, a couple of years ago I broke my wrist and I did have short-term disability insurance, interestingly enough, through a special deal with my bank. So that was nice.
Yeah.
I broke my wrist, and it's really hard to write when you, you know, break your wrist. And so,
yeah, one would think.
Yeah. So that's the thing that really kind of made me think like, okay, do I have enough that if something changed or something happened, do I have enough assets if I'm forced into retirement?
So what about you, Aaron?
Well, I've said many times on this podcast that I never planned for retirement in my 20s and 30s. And only starting with Money Talks News did I get, you know, interested in personal finance. So one of the retirement things, as we were doing the story and I was studying it, one of the things that popped out at me that I kind of liked was the break retirement planning into smaller steps. So retirement planning doesn't seem so gigantic. And I feel that's kind of what we did. You know, first we started with spending less, you know, so that way whatever money you're making, it doesn't, you know, go to stupid things that you don't need. And then breaking down things into those small pockets of like, well, what do we need to do? Well, when you have this home, let's rent it. Let's focus on fixing that and not really worrying so much about, you know, are we going to have $1 million, you know, in 20 years, you know, just kind of look at the, what can you do now? And hopefully that snowballs, you know?
So then it becomes less overwhelming for you.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I really think that it's so important that, you know, as advisors and people who are talking about personal finance and investing strategies, we have to recognize and we have to acknowledge you cannot take somebody who has a mindset that says, I hate the stock market. I'm not interested. I know I'm scared about not having enough money for retirement. I'm paralyzed. I don't know what to do. You cannot force them into a mainstream investing plan and expect them to behave like everybody else who doesn't have those concerns. Now, I think everybody here is probably on the spectrum. You know, you're somewhere along that continuum. But there are people, many, who I talk to who come to me because they're looking for the only advisors who can help them. Then they are obviously most concerned with retirement income, even if they're younger. And they're overwhelmed. They see everything as just being way too complex, you know, between investing and having the right strategy and being in the market, which they worry about a lot. Like, am I in the market at the right time? And am I out of the market at the right time? Because that's the thinking, that's the mindset. And the risk for them is that these are the people who fear the stock market the most, but are the most susceptible to really like off-road pitches for private investments and alternative investments that, you know, if you're talking about risk and you're talking about understanding where your money is and being able to have transparency, you know, you're like literally going from the frying pan into the fire. And that, or some people will say, I'm going to keep all my money in cash. I'm going to keep it in gold. And they're really anxious and they just cannot be instantaneously convinced that they should be a long-term investor and that stocks, you know, do work in the long run. So, you know, the strategy and the tips are different because the approach to investing and the approach to the mindset is different. And these are the people who, unlike you, just all the three of you who just talked about your own experiences, the difference is their thoughts drive their decisions over a period of years, and their decision has been to be out of the market. Uh-huh. What happened?
Yeah, my parents were afraid of stocks. They inherited some, and then, you know, they didn't sell them immediately. But back then they were making 8%. You know, on T-bills. That's what they did, T-bills. But now you don't have that option. Well, now you're almost getting there again, frankly. But I mean, for a long time, for the last decade though, interest rates have been nothing. So how the hell are you supposed to be able to save for retirement? You're not earning any interest. So people are kind of forced into doing things that might make them uncomfortable, and maybe that's where some of that anxiety comes from.
Yeah, I agree with Pam. I mean, that's exactly what happened to us. Like, if you don't play with stocks in your 20s and 30s and watch the growth in your 50s, it's kind of scary because even now you see in the news things change so rapidly. You know, you see stocks go up, stocks go down. You know, oh great, AI is here and all these companies are doing well. All of a sudden, we don't know. It's just the dynamics change so fast, it makes you feel anxious about, I don't know. I don't know if that's the right place to put it. You know, land, that's perfect. You know, and so, you know, they're not making new land. You know, so it's, I don't know, it's a scary thing when you're older.
And that compound that with a couple who I was talking to just 2 days ago. And this couple has and I didn't find this out until toward the end of the conversation, but then they revealed that they had about $2 million in savings, no children. And they are really, really worried and anxious. I mean, they're thinking about this every day and every night, and they feel powerless over their financial situation every day and every night. And it's not just the fear of the stock market. It's been compounded by having two bad advisor experiences in that process where they were sold investments that or sold an annuity as an investment, number one, that they really didn't understand what they were signing up for. And the other was just a bad experience with not being able to reach that advisor, talk to that advisor. So between the experience with getting help and that being a negative experience, and then their concerns and fears that they already have about the overall markets and being overwhelmed by, well, what if I do something to trigger taxes? Or I put myself into a higher tax bracket. Should I do a Roth conversion? And they just go, just like Aaron was saying, it's like, it's overwhelming. You have to take it in bite-sized pieces. But, you know, there are advisors that, you know, this is why I wanted to do this, because there are advisors I've been talking to about this, because I really care about these people when they're coming to me and they're asking me, who can I talk to, Pam, who's going to be a fee-only advisor, who's going to understand me and stop treating me like I'm a mainstream long-term investor, because I'm not.
Interesting. You know what, you guys, this is a great place for us to take a break. We're halfway through the show. But when we come back, what I want to be able to do is talk about specific things that people can do to allay their fears, to reduce their anxiety. And that includes also, I'm thinking of two different groups of people. Those who have enough but are still freaked out, and those who are freaked out because they literally don't have enough. So let's talk about specific things that those people can do right after this quick break. We'll be right back. Okay, we are back. Before we start again, you guys, if you appreciate what we do out there, would you do something for us? Would you share this show with your friends and family or your favorite or on your favorite social platforms and subscribe to our podcast? It takes you 2 seconds, but it really helps us out. So, okay, now let's get back into this because I'm very interested here. I've got a few specific ideas to reduce stress. I've written about this in the past, but Pam, you're the guest here. What should I do? If I probably have enough. So maybe I'm imagining it, but I'm just a little freaked out about the whole idea. What specific things can I do?
I'm going to give you a few tips. Number one, very specifically, doesn't matter if you have or not have enough yet. The advisors who are working with these kinds of clients and having really positive outcomes are sharing back with me that what they're doing is they're creating hyper-personalized cash flow planning and stress testing scenarios. So, in other words, what's the best way to allay your fears? Face your fears. So it's sitting down and saying, okay, let's look at the boogeyman. Let's look at what would happen in the following cases. And then you ask, you know, really try to elicit a conversation around what are you most afraid of? And then you do some scenario planning with numbers and cash flow around it. Let's just say that, oh, wow, you're not going to have enough money to retire at 64, 65, maybe 66. But now you know that. And even if there's not much time to course correct, knowledge is power, and it does give you confidence, because then you can say, okay, at least now I know that I'm going to have to continue to earn income, or I'm going to know as an investor, maybe I will have enough, but I'm concerned about staying ahead of inflation, and my money has to grow, and my bogey is here. This is how much I need to make. And I really need to plan and see step by step a very simple plan that will help me to be able to see with my own eyes what is available to me that will stay ahead of inflation over time. And that is starting to get people to think about you have a lot more control than you think you do, because you're going to decide what you do given every tool that's on the shelf. And that's one way to really allay those fears, is to hyper-personalize the cash flow planning. And that takes patience, and it takes knowledge, and it takes expertise.
Excellent. You know, and that's something I was going to say too, Pam, I was just going to put it this way, you know, Fear is the inverse of knowledge. The more knowledge you have, the less fear you have. That's true of anything. You know, I don't care whether you're dating on Bumble or you're investing in the stock market. You know, the more you know, the less you freak out. I mean, it's just that simple. So the first thing I'd suggest people do is basically what you just said. Find out where you're at. What, you know, how much do you need? And of course, we also have to acknowledge when we say, find out how much you're going to need when you retire. Well, how the hell are you supposed to know that? I mean, you don't, but you can guess. I mean, all you can do is guess because you can't see the future. But you can say, what do I enjoy doing? You know, I enjoy going to Europe and I enjoy staying in 5-star resorts. Well, therefore, it's going to cost a hell of a lot of money. Or maybe I enjoy sitting in a rowboat fishing. It's not going to cost a lot of money. So if you know what you like, and so you can at least extrapolate that into how much it's going to cost you to retire. And also, obviously, how much you spend. You know that because you go to the grocery store and you know how much you spend. You know how much your car costs. You know how much your insurance on your house is. So there are things you know, and there are some things you can know or guess at, and then you can get a much better idea of at least where you are. So there's no reason to freak out before you even know if you've got a problem. Right? Do you agree?
Yeah, because what you just said is brilliant, because you're anchoring what you can know and what you can control. You're anchoring that. Now we can play with all the really bad what-if scenarios that happen outside your control. That starts to calm your mind down so that you can say, okay, I have full control over this and that, and I don't even have to do anything at all. But if I don't do anything at all, this is what it looks like. If I take this path, this is what it looks like. And along the way, kind of learning more about what is making you so concerned about money that's in the stock market. Maybe there's just, a fundamental lack of understanding about the way the market works with market corrections and market bull markets and bear markets. When, market crash defined by a drop of more than 20% since 1950, the whole S&P index has declined by 20% or more on about 12 a dozen different times over the course of time since 1950. And the average stock market price decline is about 33%, a little bit more than 33%. And the average length of a bear market that follows a crash is a little over a year and a half. And obviously, we don't have as many crashes. So, even though people read these things, these statistics and such, sometimes it just takes sitting down and putting it in the context of how you are going to choose, because you have control over this and you don't have to invest. You don't have to stay ahead of inflation. Here's what happens if you don't. And here's what happens over time, when you do invest. And literally, like Aaron said, just taking it just one little piece at a time.
That makes a lot of sense. So, but basically, knowing where you are, knowing where you'd like to go is really important, and having knowledge, it's so important. Let me tell you something. One of the things I said in the intro, what if Social Security goes away? Let me tell you something, folks. In 1981, when I became a stockbroker, guess what I told people? Social Security might go away. This is 40 years ago, 45 years ago, and that's what people thought then. So and here's the reason I'm saying this, because if you read stuff like I do, you'll know that that's just crap. Social Security is not going to go away. And now it may get reduced, you certainly may have to be older to get it, but it's not going away. So I know that because I read that, and so that makes me feel real relaxed about Social Security. So the point is, the more you know, the less you freak out.
Well, that adds to the anxiety, though, because I keep reading those articles, too. It's like, by the time I'm getting older, Social Security is going to be reduced on its payout, by 30% or something like that. And it's like, well, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But also, my point, though, was, Aaron, that because this has happened so many times before, and because people are in a position to make money by freaking people out, they say this. Okay. So if you understand that, then you have less anxiety about it actually occurring. That's not impossible. But the older generations, in every generation, depends on Social Security. You think it's going away? It ain't going away. Now it may get harder to get. In fact, as we speak, I'm paying Social Security tax on way more of my income than I used to. And also, they've also raised the age, as everyone is well aware. But going away, not going to happen. So, all I was trying to say was, the more you read and the more you understand, the less anxiety you're going to have. And also, one of the things that Pam touched on, and of course, for those of you who don't know, Pam owns a company that hooks people up to financial advisors that she personally vets. So she's a good source to get a financial advisor. And that's another thing I was going to say. If you've got a problem, go to an expert. I mean, when you're sitting at home, you want to have a lot of anxiety when you're feeling bad, don't go to the doctor. Sit in front of your TV with an ache in your side and see how much better you feel, right? And then you finally go to the doctor and the doctor goes, oh, that's a muscle pull. Oh, whew, that's a relief.
I'm going to be okay. I'm
going to
live.
Yeah, so going to an expert can be really useful too. And you can obviously you can become an expert yourself, but Pam can hook you up and other services too. They can hook you up in 5 seconds to somebody who does this for a living, and they can look over your stuff. And I actually have had this done myself not long ago, and I am a financial advisor, but I just wanted a second set of eyes. And they said,
yeah, you want the fresh eyes.
And they said, Stacy, you know what? You're fine, dude. You're going to be good. I wouldn't change a single thing you have. And I was like, well, that's relief, you know, because even though I think I'm a genius, but maybe I'm not, you know, but then I found out, yes, Stacy, you are a genius.
we're all geniuses when the stock market is up.
Yes,
and then
exactly.
When the stock market is down, it's all the market's fault.
Everybody's
it's somebody
smart
else's
when it works.
Fault.
Yeah.
It's somebody else's problem. It's somebody else's fault when the market drops. But you know, what people really you just kind of slow down and take one concept at a time. And, you know, Stacy, thank you for mentioning that I connect people with fee-only advisors, but it's really much more precise than that. It's like this kind of investor can come to me and get the kind of advisor who's going to be really patient, because you could go to an expert and the expert's going to be like, dude, what do you not understand about that? You know what I mean? They can
wrong
be kind
person,
of,
yeah,
they, you know, there's some advisors who are going to take the time to deal with that attitude. And I think that this is what we're talking about, is these are the people who really need to stop and take one concept at a time. The concept that, you know, I would say to Aaron, who's a lot younger, but when you're getting closer and you start thinking about being over, you're going to be getting over 50, you know, the average person spends 30 years in retirement. And what that means is logically, just take one concept at a time. Your money has to not only be preserved, it has to grow, or else it will be eroded. So once these concepts can be, you know, introduced, then an investing strategy that really addresses the fears can then be constructed. And it doesn't mean it's going to look like everybody else's 60-40 plan, but it's just sitting down and being able to understand how to stabilize as much as you can your retirement nest egg, dividend paying stocks, you know, tax strategies to minimize taxes, seeing all this laid out step by step and understanding why. You know, it's not because you're just trying to invest because you just want to do what everybody else is doing. You have to do something because you're going to be 30 years, you know, possibly 30 years in retirement.
I definitely will not be. I party like a rock star. I'm looking lucky to make it through the weekend. But Pam, let me ask you a question. How much money do I need to go to a fee-only financial advisor? I mean, I know there's no set amount, but I mean, in general, do I need to have 250 grand? Do I need to have 500? Do I need to have 100? What?
If your situation is complex, which I'm not sure that it is or it isn't, okay, but if it's complex, think of it this way, the more complexity you have, the more hours of time an advisor and that advisor's team has to spend. So let's say that you're on your third marriage.
I am on my third marriage.
Okay. Let's say, you know, no, seriously, let's say that you had a bit, you own a business. Let's say
I
that
do
you
own a
also, let's say that your wife has a startup. You've got kids, you've got stepkids, you've got all kinds of complexity and somebody has stock options. Okay, now you're starting to get into the realm of what? Oh my God, let me count the ways that this is very complex. Therefore, you're going to need estate planning. You're going to need, you know, a lot more hours spent on cash flow and figuring out taxes and all of that than somebody who is Miranda or Aaron, who comes in and says, yeah, I have X amount of money in my 401k, I have X amount of money in my brokerage accounts outside of my 401k, and I am saving this much. And so Miranda's going to pay probably you know, on an ongoing basis for an advisor, we're going to probably, you can expect to pay maybe $1,500 a year to have a CFO. Do you need it? Probably not. But that's how much you pay, probably. For you, Stacy, if you met all the criteria that I just said, which you don't, but if you were terribly complex and you had, let's say you don't have $3 million, let's say you had $10 million, you know, then you're going to be looking at paying, you know, a big fee, you know, because there's going to be a lot of time and a lot of brain power that's going to have to go into your case, your household, every single
Fortunately,
year.
Pam,
so that's how I want you to think.
Complex,
of it. Depends on
complex.
Time
I am not. See. I am shallow as a puddle. I'm as predictable as a dog.
What kind of man?
And he wears the same clothes every day.
I don't wear the same clothes every day. I wear matching clothes every day. I wear white shorts and a t-shirt every day. Okay, we don't need to talk about my attire. Let's talk about my retire. Anyway, wasn't that clever word use? We have to close this up. Miranda, I have to know something. I know that you've been scared to death, totally freaked out. Do you feel better now?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm ready to do this.
All right, then.
Or something.
Aaron, are you feeling confident? Is your anxiety over retirement starting to fade?
Absolutely not.
So this podcast was useless for you. That's okay. We don't have to please everyone. Pam, you're a genius. You're brilliant. I love you. I've known Pam for 30 years, guys, by the way. Not intimately, but we've been friends for 30 years, and you can trust her. Go visit her at WealthRamp. Now let me go ahead and just read my script for the end of the show. I'm afraid we're out of time, folks, but we are never out of topic. Dig a little deeper. You're going to find links to lots more info in our show notes. And remember, if your goal is to make more, to spend less, to retire rich, like me, your online home is moneytalksnews.com. And don't forget to check out Miranda's online home as well. That is Miranda Marquit, MARQUIT.com. And of course, you want to visit Pam at her website. You can see what she actually looks like. That is WealthRamp, WealthRamp.com. If you've got a question, comment, or topic you'd like to suggest, tell us about it. You can email us at hello@moneytalksnews.com. And as I said at the halftime, if you appreciate what we do, then do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast. Our parents are really going to like it. They're going to be proud of us. So go ahead and just subscribe. It takes you 2 seconds. I'm Stacy Johnson.
I'm Miranda Marquit.
I bit off all my fingernails during the podcast.
And Pam, again, thank you so much for being with us. We will be counting the minutes until you share a mic with us again. That's all, folks. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to see you right here next time.